And this level needs to cover 4 alta. What's now causative to tell? If I have a root acting in tell,
causative is
if you call somebody else now.
I'm starting to understand these kidneys now. The first time you showed this, I had no clue.
And that's right. Yeah. And what's the passive to it?
Hipao.
No.
No. Hipao is causative.
Hufan.
Hufan.
Hipao
is insane.
Okay. Hufan. And biblical, sorry. And biblical Hebrew consistently calls it Hufan.
Hufan. Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Hufan.
Now.
Yeah.
So everybody threw in the air, Hipao, Hipao. And every time I said, no. Hipao is right in the center. In principle, it's the meaning of this binyan is mostly reflexive.
Yeah.
The action is done upon self.
So it's passive.
Right? And it naturally will not take direct object because it's reflexive. But it also is mutual. That to get married, you need two sides. To get divorced, you need two sides. So the same root, like Abraham kicked Sarah out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to get a divorce, you need two sides, right? Because the two sides got married, the two sides need to agree to split. So it falls here, in the mutual, hitpael. A nicer verb to know is hitpael, hitkatev, katav, ani, you write me and I write you, right? Right? So when you write to one another, basically there is a mutuality in the action, right? Correspondence. Hitkatev will reflect then this mutuality. Hitkatev, correspond. Now, I'm going to say this. These are the basic meanings of the binyanim. A root also contains a meaning. Like anything that has to do with taftafet will have to do with writing. And falling into these musical patterns, okay, into the musical blocks, will give it the second wing of the meaning. Anything with writing. So when you katav, when one katav, when he katav, who katav, he did the action. Who katav? Kitev is more intense. So you also have layers of Hebrew, right? So in the classical Hebrew kitev, the intensity was in the intensity of the writing. Okay, kitev, engraved. Kitev today is the intensity of how many times you write a letter. I CC on, you know, my emails on each one of you, right? So to CC, PL. I write a letter and then I send one to Barry and I send one to Avi. So they are, right? So I CC them. If I CC them, they were CC'd. You understand? He wrote a letter in Pa'al. The letter was written. That's how you go to the passive side.
Yes.
I CC'd Coleman. Then Coleman was CC'd in Pu'al.
So we don't have an exact English verb for that.
That's correct.
Not yet.
You have a passive voice in English.
No, but for sending copies too, we don't have one word.
You have CC.
We have CC.
But that's not...
I am eating, okay, but I am feeding someone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to eat and I'm going to say I'm feeding someone. That someone that I'm feeding now is fed. To be fed. To be. Okay? You understand?
Yeah.
Do you understand? Let's take katav and go through the beginning.
Yes, that would be really helpful.
Who katav? Okay, he wrote. Kitev is the intensity in different aspects. So in Kitev, the intensity is how many times today. Okay? So it's CC. Hichtiv, you call somebody else to write, so dictate.
You
dictate. Mm-hmm. Now, Nifal, he wrote a letter. The letter was written. Nichtav. Ani kitavti et hatalmidim. Hatalmidim kutvu. Ani hichtavti את המכתב, I dictated it to the secretary. It was dictated.
Wait, what was the second one though? The pu'al? What is the meaning of the pu'al?
Was cc'd, to be.
Was copied to.
Yes. Was copied. Yeah.
Was, or was written to?
Yeah, to whom it was written.
Was accepted.
So you see the subject is making it with. Now the, you need to understand the concept in English because it's so different in Hebrew. The concept in English is, the children played with a ball. The ball was played with. I closed the door.
The door
is closed, or was closed. Mm-hmm. It's, you understand? It's the passive voice. That's what it is.
It also seems like it's the whether you're speaking from the point of view of the active participant.
Exactly.
So the door being closed was the door was the active participant.
That's correct. You change the subject.
Change the subject.
Yeah. Right? I close the door. The door is my object. I close the door. I am the active. When the door is closed by me,
right.
It is the subject. Door.
So on the passive side, the thing you're operating on is the subject of the problem.
That's correct. Of
and
the
on
verb.
The active side is the person causing the action.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's exactly.
Is the subject.
That's exactly the understanding that I'm seeking.
And in English, we generally use, we don't have separate verbs. We do was written.
That's correct too. He wrote. It was written. That's correct. You use it to be into the passive voice. Those of you who know English grammar, yeah, that's correct.
Or French grammar, since that was taught to me.
It's fine. Now, I left Yisrael. Hit Katev happened to be the mutual one. So Hit Katev will be correspond. Hit Katavti im Achoti. Okay, yeah, but I'm using Katav as our example, right? So hold on for reflexive. Hit Katev happened to be the mutual.
Okay. You are mutual,
if you want
that's
it reflexive,
right.
Hit labesh.
Look.
Yossi lavash bgadim. Okay? Hu lavash chulza, hu lavash michnasayim. Okay? Pal. Aval Yossi kam baboker vehit labesh.
Got dressed.
Mm-hmm. And you need to translate this as he got dressed, otherwise you're going to search for the clothing there. And you do not need to search for clothing. The clothing are going here.
Yeah. He got dressed again. He got dressed.
So when Yossi dresses his little sister, it's...
Yossi
Hilbish
et Achoto. Yossi Hilbish et Achoto.
He caused to be dressed.
Yeah, he caused her to get dressed. Absolutely. He caused her to be dressed.
Right.
The seder?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that said, each of these binyanim, pu'al and hufal, are the true automatic passives to pi'el and ifi. True. And that's their only function.
True as opposed
to. As opposed to. Nifal, hipel, tal, piel, nifil, that I just told you what their meaning, basic meaning is. You should know. Language is a living thing. So even though these are the basic meanings that I just told you for the binyanim, each and every of these binyanim took a life of its own. For example, and it didn't happen today, only in modern time. Look, lamad, limed. למד, זה אני למדתי, אתם לומדים עברית. אבל מה, אני מלמדת אתכם, נכון? I am teaching, right? So, למידה, the gerund, למידה, is learning. And the gerund here, לימוד, is the teaching. So, when you have a לימוד session, it's actually from the teacher's perspective type of an activity. And למידה is the process in which you're engaged, for example, in Hebrew learning.
So Nilmad is...
Nilmad, it was learned.
It was learned, right. So we're
but here's an example how Nifal took a life of its own.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say he entered the class? Sydney just entered the class.
Who?
Nichnas. Lakita. He actively did this action, right? And I just told you that this is the passive side. That's how Nifal took a life of its own. In Biblical Hebrew, nilcham. We have nilcham. Okay? Fought.
Mm-hmm.
You can.
It's not passive.
It's not exactly passive. No. Okay, you can say, well, he was kind of put in that position to
he
fight.
He must identify. He
right?
fight.
Yeah, that's
right. To, but
when somebody wants to claim that, by the way, they'll put it in Nifal.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's Lachan. Okay?
So this is
the dialectic in the language, and this is when you are now starting to really feel the language. Like you have enough knowledge now to start sensing this.
Yes.
And I am telling you that now when you're going back to Biblical Hebrew and you read a section,
mm-hmm.
an Aliyah, and look at the verbs, try to see why that verb was chosen in that binyan, and you flip sometimes. I promise you, take the Joseph story and just look at the Joseph stories, binyanim. You're going to flip.
I looked at the Kadosh Kadosh in Isaiah last week, and that was comparing the Hebrew to the English translation in JPS was shocking.
Yeah, don't forget JPS is a translation by scholars, the Bible scholars.
Yeah.
They took into consideration Midrash.
Yeah, more than that.
Yeah,
they also took into modern sensibilities.
But they have to, because there is a message they would like to convey.
Yes.
Now, Orthodox, like if you go to an Orthodox translation, you know, it will be
very
biased. It will be very true to the Hebrew. But they will have no problem taking God's side in the translation if they need to. No problem. They have an agenda.
Yeah.
There is one guy.
JPS did too. It was very different.
So, and then look at the women. Who has not discussed?
The women's Torah.
The women's commentary.
Yeah.
So this is an era of really true pluralism. A true scholastic era of Judaism, of Bible study. So take advantage of it. It's a good time to learn.
When you call the Pu'al and Pu'al true, automatic passives. Are you saying
they
did not evolve?
Exactly. They did not evolve.
They also don't have infinitives.
That's correct.
And
they do not have tzivui. They do not have.
They don't have anything.
They do not have a life.
So they're pretty clearly always the passive of the one before. But Nifal does have an infinitive.
Yes.
Because
it took a life of its own. So just showed you nilcham and nichnas. Right.
So then the connotation you're saying.
Yes.
The connotation of it being a passive of fighting.
Yeah, there is a
slight there.
Yes,
but not for everyone. Only for educated people like us.
because uneducated people will ask, well, why do you say lacham and nilcham?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they are not educated, they will just they wouldn't care. Oh, lacham, they went into war. Some kind, you know, translation will fit if they went into war. They fought.
Well, like a close reading in English of literature, you think about the particular word, and there's so many synonyms in English, but it's.
And I will tell you one more thing. You know, when you compare translations, if you do not compare to King James, you miss.
You mean that's worth looking at?
Worth looking at.
Why?
Because it's the most ancient English translation.
Oh, so it does have some of things
really important, significant stuff.
It influences the translations.
Then if you learn Greek, then, you know.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's a new ancient.
One step at a time. Let's cover Hebrew.
Skip Greek in the middle.
What?
Skip Greek for the moment.
No, someone had a question about this?
Yeah.
Okay, now, all the binyanim have past tense.
Mm-hmm.
And past tense is signified by suffixes.
Mm-hmm.
And all binyanim have hove, which is the tense. But we call it also beinoni, because sometimes the same form of the present tense is used as a noun or an adjective. Beinoni. Beinoni reflects the word bein, between a noun and a verb. Beinoni. All the binyanim will have atin. All the active ones will have tzivui. Shem poal. Shem peula. Shem Poal is what we call the le plus infinitive construct.
Sorry.
And Shem Peula has a musical pattern in each of the binyanim. The gerund. The ing. The noun verb. Okay?
This is general.
Past tense is, past tense is the suffixes. Present tense is the affixes. Sometimes it's an o, right? It's o for pad, and it's nun for nifad, and otherwise it's mem in the front. Future prefixes, atinati, tzivui, is dependent, right? Without the tav. The u group, second person, minus tav, right? Minus prefix. Shem poad is basically an imperative, masculine singular, with le in front of it, basically. It's one of the theories. There are enough inconsistencies not to accept that theory. And Shem Pe'ula is the gerund, the ing form. Okay? Now. Here is binyan. And I'm going to have seven of these. Okay? Pei. Ayin, lamed. 1, 2, 3 root letters. Okay? Sometimes I have a prefix. Sometimes I'll have in the middle affix. And sometimes it will be just music, vowels. Okay?
So you're talking about the left side now, the passive verbs?
No.
Oh, in general?
Yeah, in general. So this is a presentation of the roots. Each root, one root letter, second root letter, third root letter. Pei hapo'al, ayin hapo'al, lamed hapo'al. Okay? If the three root letters, 1, 2, 3, are always repeating throughout the conjugation, we call them type A, shlemim, shlemim, ho. They are always there. No matter how you conjugate, past, present, future, imperative, whatever it is, the three root letters will always be there. Gutturals included.
Huh. I know that, but I keep being surprised about that.
Why?
I don't know why.
When you think about it, all you need to remember is that in any high rise, if you buy the corner apartments, you will have an extra window. In any neighborhood, when you buy the corner lot, you will have an extra land.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
How does that apply to Shlemi?
The gutturals will have
the
corner apartment will have a slight variation.
They're there, but the vowels are different.
Right. You already know that gutturals do not take mobile shva.
Mm-hmm.
In the word kotvim, this is a mobile shva. So if I have a guttural here, I cannot say ohvim. You know that it takes this.
Right.
This is when the rules that I taught you all along,
it's still
shumim,
but it's still shumim because all of the root letters are there. The sound.
This happened to be.
That's the pe'alef. So that was
because of the aleph. But here, I just wanted to show you this.
Right.
The rule. But.
Does that include
here? Noheg.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does that include? Savoy?
Absolutely.
For Shlemi, does that include?
Because it's just. Yes,
this is in any conjugation.
Yeah.
Shma, Israel, Shma. Has a gutteral here? Savoy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the future suffix, prefix that's dropped for Savoy.
Yeah.
The prefix is added in future and then dropped for Savoy.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're talking about the roots now. The roots. Any root can play in any of the binyanim, potentially. Not all of them did, but they, potentially they can. That's how a language grows. Okay? So an example of shlemim can be kaf taf vet, and I already showed you that kaf taf vet exists in all of them. Now, lamed mem dalet. And the reason I do katav el lamad is because in pa'al, right, in only pa'al, has two musical patterns in future. I have echtov versus elmad. And you have the rules already to know how do I know how to conjugate the future in pa'al. Okay? You need to look them up if you don't remember. Then you have gutturals in different places, like avad, avoda, right? Avad, or sha'al, right? Here's the guttural, and shama, or patach. Here's it is in the third place. And in all these three places, there may be changes, slight dances in the conjugation. But otherwise, they're still shlemim, because they're slight changes. Okay?
What is the last one? I can't read it.
Patach.
Patach.
Now, I use an acronym for ani. If I have the verbs that may have potential problems in perkoal, are if they're Aleph, if they're Nun, or Yod. In Peah Poal. So the word Ani is here. See that?
Yeah.
Pei Aleph, Pei Nun, Pei Yod. See? Peah Poal. It's a first root letter. If it's a Yod, if it's a Nun, or an Aleph, there are issues. Much bigger than just a slight dance. That's why we're climbing to a second and third and fourth floor in the high rise. Okay?
These all have problems in the future tense.
Yep. Okay?
Because of them.
Now, don't think that you do not know them already.
Yeah.
You actually know a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because this one is the famous Amar.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the famous Achal. And the famous Ahav.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We learned a story in book two. Shnaim ochazim batali. Do you remember the Russian with the talis, right? In the Russian law, if you just grab it, it's yours, and it doesn't matter anything else. Achaz. And the truth of the matter, there are only six verbs here, so you're missing two. I'm not gonna give them to you until you know we learn, but that's it. So when you check their conjugations, you will know what pei aleph looks like. Hey Nun, we learn Nafal, right? We learn Nasa'a. We sang right? We sang this before, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you already know that Natan is a special verb in Hey Nun, right? Very special. You also know that lakach, unjustified, it's a lamed, behaves like feinon. Right?
Yeah.
In pa'al. Now in peyod, we have verbs like yashav, that's what you do right now,